Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha, no everyone. Brother Bulla here once again sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. I want to welcome all of my brothers and sisters that are tuning in tonight. Mahalo for making the effort. I'd like to give a shout out to our Berean and Friday Chapel boys at Halava. I hope we're able to get into Halava tonight, see our Berean boys this evening. And I hope that the Friday Chapel boys had a great time with Pastor Scott. Hallelujah. To our Wai'ava boys in Module 10 Cashbox program, we're going to see you next week, Wednesday, when we get back on schedule. To our brothers at FDC, what a sad day. Couldn't get in there this past Sunday, lockdown, but we will be at the gate this Sunday, anxiously waiting to see you. OCCC, we had a great time in Module 11 and 4 on Saturday and Annex 1 on Saturday night. Monday night, we got to go to Modules 3 and 4 and see our sisters. A wonderful time to both modules. Shout out to both of you. Keep the faith in Module 13. I'm going to try and see if I can get there this weekend, God willing. And to our brothers in Laumaka, what a pleasant surprise to see Mr. Michael Brewer at the crosswalk. Going back home yesterday, going back home from work. We also had a chance to see Big Ben from Module 20. Good seeing you out there in the workforce, Ben. And always a pleasure to see Brother Sai from Laumaka at church. To the women at the Windward facility, we're going to see you guys tomorrow night. We have a great DVD that we're bringing with over 99 praise and worship songs that's going to help us usher in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Last night, I was able to attend a wonderful men's group meeting at Windows of Hope that met at the garage or the patio area of the Shopo offices. Mahalo to Tenere Ma'afala and Brother Keith Ayuin and Sean Nakamoto for the vision. Over 50 men there from all walks of life, from all stages of their walk with the Lord. But the one thing that brought us all together was that we love Jesus. We know who our Lord and Savior is, and it's such a refreshing time. It's a time to hook up together, literally, arm in arm, to stand against the attacks from the enemy and to encourage our brothers. Our goal of Windows of Hope is to fill Aloha Stadium with 50,000 God-fearing men one day soon. Let's pray on that. Let's prophesy into that. Let's pray truth into that. And I believe that will happen. You know, today is a wonderful day. You know, last night we had a wonderful message from Lynette on her recent trip to Saguaro and Red Rock facilities in Arizona. And you know, especially when we're in with the men that are incarcerated, when they hear a woman's voice, it just has a different impact upon them. Because as Lynette said last night, she represented all the women in their life, their mothers, their wives, their sisters, their aunties, their girlfriend. And sometimes you need that softer voice to make a bigger impact, to drill down just a little bit deeper. And I'm not saying she has a soft voice, because she can be a little pit bull at times, but she loves the Lord with all her heart. She loves God so much. Sometimes I just say, God, how am I so lucky? You know, for many of us, we have to wait till we get to heaven to see an angel. But God blessed me and I married one. Hallelujah. Don't want to get too mushy, but love you, Lenny. You're doing an awesome job. Putting up with me is half the battle. Free Inside is our prison ministry that has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the broken, the lost, and the incarcerated, to preach the gospel to every person. You know, we share the word of God and words of encouragement every week to those that are incarcerated in the facilities here in Oahu and also in Saguaro, Arizona. Mahalo to all of you who have joined us tonight. Feel free to check out our website, www.freeinsideministry.org. You can find all of our recorded programs there for your convenience to download for a later time. We also have a tab if you would like to make a donation and support the ministry. We're trying to raise funds to get back to Saguaro at the end of summer, right in the fall area. We plan to do a baptism service for over 300 men. We'll be taking a wonderful team up with us. So if you'd like to support us in our ongoing travels to the mainland to bring the aloha and the love of Christ to those that are incarcerated, feel free to go to our website and put a donation there. It has instructions. Our email is freeinsideministry@gmail.com. My phone number is 808-222-2822. I believe I received a call from Christine last night. She's going to come out to the Free Inside Church this Sunday at 300 Willakina Drive. Free Inside Church is the First Assembly of God Wahiwa. We call it the Good in the Hood. 300 Willakina Drive, two services, 8 and 10:15 a.m. And you know our anchor verse, my brothers and my sisters and all of my beloved. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. I just want to thank everyone for tuning out tonight. And I want to give a shout out to all of the other pastors, all of the other ministers, all of the other volunteers who serve behind those prison walls. Mahalo for all you do. You know, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And you know so well that there's so much work yet to be done. You know, tonight, my brothers and my sisters, the message I have is the misunderstanding. And I might misunderstand my own title, The Misunderstanding. But we're going to be in the book of Mark. And we're going to be in the book of Mark chapter 6, verse 45, if you could. As you turn to your swords there. Now, I know you've heard this version or this story probably for many, many times. But as you're turning to that, this is the one where Jesus walks on water. Now, there's a lot of different interpretations and understandings. And I'm going to try and bring you something just a little bit different. But if you don't have your swords, I'll read it. And if you do, you can read along. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. And I'm also going to be reading out of the Jesus book also. Amen? Amen. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethesda, while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. In the Jesus book, it goes something like this. Right then and there, Jesus go tell his guys for go inside the boat and go down to the Bethsaida town ahead of him. He sent all the people home. When all the people went go away, he go up to the mountain for go pray. When the dark time went come, he's still there all by himself on the land. He go spark the guys trying for row the boat, but they no can, because the wind stay blowing real hard. But real early in the morning time, Jesus come by them, walking on top of the water. He act like he gonna pass by them. When they go spark him, walking on top of the water, they think he one ghost. They yelling because they real scared. Right then and there, he go tell them, "Eh, no scared. This only me. Make strong." Then he climb inside the boat with them, and the wind went pow. The guys went really blow their minds. They never understand how he feed all the people bread because they real hot head. Did you know that this is the only recorded miracle in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? So there is significance to this miracle. So I want to try and break this down if we could tonight. And I'm going to make it so maybe we can get a better understanding. A lot of times I like to read the Bible and I like to try and see how that applies to my life. See that how it applies to my situation. See how that applies to what I'm going through. And it's when I'm able to do that to see what the application is, then that puts me in a better place of understanding what God's plan is for me. So in the first verse, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. In the Jesus book, it says, right then and there, Jesus tell his guys, for go inside the boat and go Bethsaida, the town ahead of him. He send all the people home. When all the people didn't go away, he go up to the mountain for go pray. Jesus is the ultimate host. Here he is. He just fed 5,000 men. Okay, but now the discussion about that would be, you have to realize that the men come with families most of the time. So the multitude could have been as many as 15,000. If you're to think that he had a wife and maybe one child, you know, that would be 15,000, not the 5,000. That's just something to ponder upon, to think about. So anyway, here's Jesus saying goodbye to all the guests after having the biggest fish dinner ever. And he sends the disciples along the way on their boat, worried about where they're going, but making them go ahead. And he's going to clean up. He's going to take care of everything. The consummate host. Because, you see, Jesus was sending them on the way because he knew even though a miracle had just taken place with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, he knew that there was a greater miracle to happen. And despite the fact that he just fed 5 loaves and 2 fish, he knew something even bigger was going to happen. So as the disciples head down to go down to the boat to go across the water, Jesus was being the gracious host, saying aloha to all those that had come and had eaten. But you see, even though he was tired after doing all of the goodbyes, Jesus is also the consummate prayer warrior. You see, sometimes we don't need a big crowd. My brothers and my sisters, we don't need an audience. We really don't need a care group sometimes. We don't need a home group sometimes. What we need is to just pray. Now, was Jesus tired? Of course he was. He was exhausted, I'm sure. But he still made time to pray because that was important to him. In verse 47, late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on the land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. He intended to go past them. Let's take a look at this picture. Let's paint it big so we can grasp the largeness of what's about to take place. You see, the disciples are in the boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was on land. Jesus was still on solid ground, as the disciples are navigating the instability of the lake, of the instability of the storm they found themselves in. Jesus was not with them because he was still on solid ground. Amen? He saw that they were struggling and that the storms were hitting them. He saw that they were roaring against the storms, the waves, the wind. But why would Jesus wait until 3 a.m. in the morning when he's watched them struggle all night? Why would he wait until you're in prison? Why would Jesus wait until you've lost everything? Why would Jesus wait until you hit rock bottom? Why would Jesus wait until you hit the bottom of the barrel? I believe that sometimes if God had come to help the disciples any earlier, they wouldn't realize that they had come to the end of their rope. Sometimes if Jesus had come to you while you're still on the outside making deals and hustling scripts, you wouldn't have listened to him because it was all rolling good for you. You had the world by the tail. You were the man with the plan. You had it all going on because you know that's how you roll. But sometimes God has to correct us in order for us to connect with him. I always say that the Bible is the book of direction, connection, and correction. It's a book that will give you all the answers you need in life. As Brother Teneri shared last night, the definition of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And we both heard that at last week's premiere of the epic Journey movie with producer Tim Shea and his lovely bride, Susan. Tim had shared that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. You see, but Jesus had watched them struggle all night. And they thought they were alone struggling by themselves when the hand of God was right there. Sometimes we feel like we're lost all by ourselves, but God is right there. Sometimes we feel we're fighting that fight all by ourselves, but God is right there. Sometimes we think we're battling everything in front of us at work, but God is right there. Now, Jesus walks towards them, but he was going to walk by them. Now, that's strange. Why would Jesus want to walk past his disciples when he knew that they were in trouble? Because you have to realize that God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. Let me say that again. God is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. But when you come to that point where you can't do more, no, when you can't do no more, when you come to that point when you feel like you're at the end of the road, you have to cry out his name so he knows that you need him. Just like when you know you're, it's just like, you know, if you get kids, you know, your teenage son, you know, he's planning to go out, and you know, he's broke, you know, he's boss, but he needs money. You could offer him $40 for him to go out, but if you're like me, nah, I don't think so. Better open your mouth and ask. I want him to say it. I want my son to say, Dad, can I borrow $40? Dad, can I have $40? I want him to submit and to ask for my help. You see, Jesus was walking towards the disciples. He wasn't avoiding them. He was just going to see if they were going to cry out. He wanted to see if they were going to admit that they could go no further. He wanted to see if they were going to admit that they had hit the end of their road. He wanted to see if they were going to admit that they had come to the end of their line. He wanted to see if they were going to admit that they wanted a change in their situation. He wanted to see if they were going to admit that what they were doing was getting them nowhere. He wanted to see that they were spinning in circles, and the storms, the unpaid bills, the arguing with their wife and the kids, the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness. He wanted them to admit that it was more than they could handle in their situation. You see where I'm going with this, my brothers and sisters. When we realize that the situation we are in is greater than what we can handle, it's at that point we cry out, Abba, Father, and he hears us. In verse 49, it says, about when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once, and he says, don't be afraid. He said, take courage, I am here. Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. He climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. You see, it's in our darkest hour, my beloved. It's in our time of our greatest fear, my brothers and my sisters, that the Lord will speak to us. But will you hear him? Will you? You see, it's when you think you can't go on, Jesus comes along. It's when you've come to the end of your resources, you realize who your source is. It's when you've come to the end of the rope, you've got to tie a knot on it and hang on. As Jesus came upon them, he told them, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. You see, the difference between the disciples and us is that Jesus was still in the flesh. But it is within his presence he told them, don't be afraid. You see, we're the lucky ones. We're blessed because we have Jesus with us all the time. It's the helper that he left for us. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. When Jesus entered their boat, the storm stopped. The storm subsided. The storm ended. The storm was finished. When you let Jesus come into your life, when you let Jesus come into your boat, when you let Jesus come to be the center of your core of your existence, when you let Jesus come and be the focus of what you're doing and why you're doing it, your storms subside because Yahweh, the great I am, is with you, my brothers and sisters. Amen. It's you got to get rid of all the opala. You've got to know who's in your boat. You see, when Jesus came into their boat, the storm subsided. When Jesus came into their boat, the wind stopped. When Jesus came into their boat, the rain stopped. You see where I'm going, my brothers and my sisters? Some of you only want to talk to Jesus on Sundays, if that. Others, you don't talk to him at all. But when you look at the brother or sister that's getting blessed, when you look at the brother or sister that has the peace that surpasses all understanding, when you look at the brother or sister that just seems to have it going on, when you look at the brother and sister that nothing seems to faze them, when you look at the brother and sister whose family is in one unit, when you look at the brother and sister where the children actually listen to them, when you look at the brother and sister around you and you say, man, there's something about them. It's the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know who they serve. They know they're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. They know their destiny because they know their identity. You see, Jesus is always with us. But the thing that's really puzzling, the thing that's really sad is, in verse 52, I'm sorry, my brother and sister, in verse 52, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. Let me go into the Jesus book for a reference, because that's pretty interesting. In verse 52, they say, "They never understand how he can feed all the people bread, because they real hard head." Now, I don't know about you, and I don't want to talk about you. I'm going to talk about myself personally. I will admit, sometimes I can be hard head. Sometimes I can be just flat out bakatare. Sometimes I can be, I don't like listen to nobody. But you see, it's through that stubbornness. It's through that hardened heart. It's through all those times where we don't want to believe anything but what stupid ideas we have, where we think it's my way or the highway, where we feel that we know everything. It's at those times that we don't understand and are able, we're not able to see God's hand in our life. We're not able to see the miracles that are around us because we haven't submitted to God. You see, it's just like the Bible. As I said earlier, my beloved, it's the book of direction, correction, and connection. All the answers you need for your life is in that book. Now, my brothers and my sisters, you know, there's the Lord wants to connect with you. He wants that relationship. Man wants religion. God wants a relationship. Because God made man and man made religion. And I always say that religion looks good. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. What works is that relationship with Jesus Christ. What works is that opportunity you have to call him your Lord and Savior. You see, Jesus isn't walking towards you. He's going to walk by you until you open your mouth. It's just like in the disciples in the boat. They're so hard-headed, they couldn't understand the miracles. My prayer, my beloved, is that we take the scales off of our eyes. We take the broken heart. We take the stubborn, the stony hearts that we have. And we open up that stony heart. We open up the eyes of our heart so that we can see the miracles and the signs and wonders that the Lord places around us every day. Every day. See, I don't know about you, my brothers or my sisters, but I remember when I was really stubborn. And I'm still stubborn sometimes, but not as often. I remember when I was just hard-headed, man, just hard-headed. Kind of like, you know, when you get later on in your life in your 50s, you look at all the crazy stuff you did earlier and you go, for what? That was kind of nuts, man. But we all go through those phases. You see, but my prayer tonight, my brothers and my sisters, is do you understand the loaves? Do you understand the loaves? Are your bills piling up and you don't know how you're going to dig out of that debt? You got to understand the loaves, because Jesus will always make sure you have what you really need. And he cares for you. But have you ever lost someone special, someone really close to you? And you don't know how to go on, understand the loaves that Jesus weeps with you. Remember the story of when Lazarus was raised by Jesus. Do you have something afflicting you, or you have a sickness or a disease? You don't know how, you don't have any idea how it's going to be cured. The doctors didn't give you a good report. Understand the loaves. Jesus will either cure you or bring you to the place he has prepared for you. Like I tell everyone, everyone gets healed. Just some of us don't get healed on earth. Amen? John 14:3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you may be also." Understand the loaves. In the Jesus book in John 14:3, he says, "After I go and make the place ready, I'm going to come back and take you guys over there with me. So the place I stay, you guys going to stay there too." Now I could go on and on and on. But most importantly, I know there's someone listening tonight. I know there's someone sitting on the edge of their bed in one of the facilities. You might be in Wayava. You might be in Halava. You might be in FDC. You might be in OCCC. You might be on the Windward side. You might even be sitting in Saguaro. You might even be sitting at home and you're feeling this inside of you. You're feeling that, man, have I fallen so far? Have I done so much pilau things? Have I done just too much stink stuff? Am I just rotten? Then there's no way God can ever forgive me. I'm a screw up, man. There's no way God gonna want anything to do with me. I want to leave you with this, my brothers and sisters. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, let me share that to you from the Jesus book so you get a good grasp. Because Christ get love and aloha for us guys to the max. No matter what kind of trouble get, no bother us because we the winners for sure. But I stay sure about this. No more nothing can make God stop loving us guys. No matter if we stay alive or we mock it die dead. No matter if get angel guys or leader guys in the sky. Or if get spirits with power that go against us. No matter. Whatever stay happen now or going to happen in Mumbai. No matter. If get guys with power up there inside the sky or get guys down there inside the ground that get power. No matter. Get all kind other kind things that God will make. No more nothing that can hammer us from God. So he don't love us no more. Because us guys stay tight with Jesus Christ. The special guy God went sending. He our boss. My beloved, understand the loaves. Do not have a hardened heart. No be bakatari. No be hard head. Or you're never going to see the miracles that God has for you. And once you understand the loaves, help your lost brothers. Help your lost sister to help understand that too. If we can't see the loaves in front of us and the miracle that Jesus has done, how will we ever see any other miracles? Oh, my beloved, my prayer is that you can open your heart and open your eyes to our Father in heaven. Talk story with him. Say, hey, Pops, in heaven. Hello, God. Need some help. Had a rough day. He wants to hear from you. He's reaching down right now as we speak. Get some rest. I'll see you guys tomorrow night. Ahuyo. God bless you and God keep you.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.